Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat.
And this is your host, Carl. The Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast is an audio program where we discuss your favorite and not-so-favorite sci-fi programs and TV shows.
Today we will discuss The Lottery. The Lottery comes on Sundays, 10, 9 Central on the Lifetime Channel.
The normal hub for sci-fi programs and action events?
Yeah. You know, actually, Carl, I watched a vampire TV show on the Lifetime channel back in the day. It was called Blood Ties.
Blood Ties? Wow.
Yeah.
Was that an enjoyable series?
It was decent. I mean, back when I was doing the Lipstick Aliens podcast with Lynn, we watched it, and I think we watched a full season and podcasted on it.
Huh. Well,
I don't think anything else was on, though.
That's sad. All we got was Lifetime. No. So how did it compare to... Okay, so what was it that made it a Lifetime?
Oh, because I have no idea. I think maybe because there was like a female cop in charge of everything. Honestly, you know, it reminds me a lot of Beauty and the Beast on the CW.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. So it was a lot like that. And, you know, you have to be into that type of thing to watch it. So I don't know. But enough about that. Let's get into The Lottery. Now, I heard about this one. I heard it was going to be sci-fi. And I heard it was going to be like kind of post-apocalyptic sorta, and it was going to have some gadgetry. But then I heard it was going to be on the Lifetime channel. So, because, you know, we on the Sci-Fi Party Line, we have to check out all the TV shows, give it a 3 to 5 episode trial before we decide yay or nay.
It's our responsibility to you as listeners.
Yes, it is. So, we decided to give this one a shot, and And we're in the process of watching some other ones, The Leftovers, blah, blah, blah. We're going to get to those. But this one was more sci-fi-y, so I was just curious as to what the Lifetime channel would pull out for science fiction. And so the premise of this show is that there was an event or a crisis, and before the crisis, women could have babies. After the crisis, somehow women could not have babies. So all science is dedicated to trying to create babies again, so the population, so we can live as species, right? And there's a angsty scientist who happens to be female.
Dr. Allison Lennon?
Yeah, there's also a single ex-alcoholic father with a six-year-old, and there's only six six-year-olds left, and everybody's watching them like they're a reality show. They're the new Kardashian.
He's the dashing Kyle Walker.
Yes, he is. And there's a lot of things going around there. It tries to do a lot of things, but I'm going to let Carl get into his description or his feelings or observations about the show, and then we're going to get into discussing it as a whole.
Well, I was asking you early on about your Lifetime vampire program because when something comes on the Lifetime network, it tends to have a certain bent to it,
mm-hmm.
A certain focus to the target demographic, obviously.
What demographic would that be?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think it's women. I think it just might be women is who they're looking at.
Not only women, there's a certain type of woman.
Really? What type is that? I don't
the,
know.
The type of woman that, I don't know how the channel is now because I could not stand it, but it was for the abused or victimized woman.
Oh my, wow. Okay, I see what you were saying. I was not going to go there, but
yeah.
Perhaps it is not empower. I mean, what did you call it? Victimized and disempowered or whatever. Maybe these women are just enlightened and they don't need no man. That's the kind of woman that you just, I don't need no man. So that's why I have a special on Lifetime program. Because I don't need no man. The man I have is bad.
So these women don't, they apparently can't do grammar either. They don't need no grammar.
I'm just speaking in general. I'm just speaking in general. So, my question was, when you see something is coming out on the Lifetime channel, it tends to have a certain theme, a certain flow, a certain feel to it. So for them to just out the box try science fiction, I admit I was intrigued. I said, I'm very curious to see how are you going to reconcile all of the stuff that's supposed to be science fiction with the typical themes of the shows that you see on the Lifetime Network. I was intrigued. I was curious about that. One thing that concerns me is between the Hallmark Channel and the Lifetime Channel, there is a certain acting... It's hard to describe. I will call it a soap opera cadence. Is the only way I don't know, because listen, I'm serious about this. At any
That's
point,
exactly what it is, Carl. It is the perfect description of what it is.
At any moment, if I'm flipping through the channels, right, I don't even need to see what the number of the channel is, right? Give me 8 seconds of dialogue. It could be a preview, it could be the show itself, just 8 seconds of dialogue from something that's on Lifetime or Hallmark Channel, and I'll immediately know, oh, that's something on Lifetime. And some of the ladies that may come by while I'm doing are always shocked that I can tell that's Lifetime. I'll be in the kitchen, oh, that's Lifetime. Why are you watching Lifetime? You didn't even hear it. Something about the way that the people are speaking has that sort of rhythm to it, and it's unlike any other channel except maybe soap operas. So that's not necessarily something that I look forward to in programming. So when they said, okay, this is going to be a Lifetime show, it's going to be science fiction, I was wary that was going to be what I was going to experience. And right away, I was sensing that cadence going on with this show. I could feel that kind of acting and what was going on, and I wish I could repeat it. I don't know how to describe it.
You described it. You described it perfectly, and I think people know what soap operas, it's a thing. I don't even, yeah.
But my question is how do you craft that? You know, when you're a director and you happen to be a director for the Lifetime, because it's consistent, you watch multiple shows, but and they all have this. It's kind of like, okay, it's like this. Occasionally, and it's been a really long time, so if things have changed, maybe, yeah. But when you used to watch the Disney Channel, all the kids talked really loud and really fast for no reason. They had that Miley Cyrus volume about them. And you're like, why? Kids don't talk like that. What? But somebody at Disney was saying, no, I want you to be louder. I want you to be more obnoxious and less believable. Go with that. And the kids would overact and overdenunciate. So somebody has got to be making the decision to have the people sound like that. And that's such an odd decision. Why would you choose that? Who is it that is on the board that's saying, you know, this is not sounding soap opera-y enough. I'm going to need you to do this. So, all right. Somehow they have managed to merge the vibe of Children of Men with the sort of edge and acting flow of the Lifetime channel.
So I haven't seen Children of Men, so you're going to have to come up with something else.
Well, no, because you're slacking. You're the only person who hasn't seen it. So I don't have to quote what everybody else has. Everyone else has.
Bite me.
So the focus of everything being about the childbirth.
Yeah.
Now, okay. As fans of science fiction, we readily adopt outlandish premises all the time.
Revolution.
You can throw some mess where, yeah, no, the power all around the world just goes off. We're with you. You say, oh, you know, there's only one person left on the planet Earth. Then a bunch of, we're with you. Aliens, they're living amongst us in New York City. Fine. So when they start with the premise of that childbirth is the most valuable thing on Earth, and that now the embryos must be protected by countries, you know, okay, we've had some craziness in the past. So knowing this is Lifetime, that doesn't surprise me that it is the premise. The idea is you start with something crazy, and then you gotta sell it. You got to say, in sci-fi, doesn't matter what your premise is, doesn't matter how crazy it is, because you know what we've been through. The idea is you got to be able to, with the story that you're telling, with the situations that you're creating, with the characters that you create, you got to make that real, and you got to make that interesting, and you got to make that propel your story. So we're starting with that, and with the pilot episode, we're trying to understand the ramifications of what that means in terms of how it's affecting society, in terms of how it's affecting countries, how it's affecting the decisions that people and government and scientists are making. So that's what everything is hinging on. One trait or challenge for science fiction is once you have stated the premise, you want the things in your story to fortify it. You want that to reinforce. You don't want to have to keep bringing up the fact that this is what the core of your story is about. When you are watching the lottery, it does not go very long until someone brings up the fact that the babies aren't here, there's something's up with uteruses, we got to protect the embryos. It seems like that theme is regularly reinforced throughout the entire episode. And maybe it's because it's the pilot or the first couple of episodes that they're really, really trying to make that clear. But I'm thinking that the story should be revealing that a little bit more than people just saying it with a lot of force and saying it very aggressively.
Okay. So I just am not a fan of the Lifetime channel. I don't know. It rubs me the wrong way. Every time I've seen it, some woman is always being violated. Some woman is always being empowered. And there's always this insulting, sexist type of... I mean, it's supposed to be empowering for women, but at the same time, to me, it feels like it's kind of insulting. So I too, Carl, was curious to see how they would handle a science fiction theme. I rolled my eyes when it's like, oh, the greatest thing you could do is give birth, and the whole thing is about something uniquely woman, which is that we can give birth and guys can't. Yay us. Fine. Okay, so what happens is we have the star of this show, and I was just like, well, who is this lady? Have I seen her before? So I made the mistake of watching Zero Hour. That was like a religious Dan Brown type of TV show that got canceled in its first season.
Oh, really? I haven't seen that either. So yeah. that's where Dr. Lennon was, her previous show.
Yeah,
okay.
That was with she, and that got canceled.
Do you remember what network it was on?
It was Hulu. I don't know. It was like ABC or something like that, or
really?
NBC,
Okay.
yeah. So we've seen her, and a lot of these actors we've seen in various shows. And the thing, and J. August Richards was in this, in the pilot, you know, from Angel, Gunn, from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He was in this, and he was doing the same type of soap opera cadence as you.
Isn't that amazing? Because we know these people can act. We've heard them elsewhere, which is why there is somebody on the set going, I'm sorry. The dialogue here was entirely too natural and believable. I'm going to need this to sound a little bit more rehearsed. It's just... Okay, sorry.
Yeah. You were spot on with that description of what's going on. And everything just... It was just said with more force. And to me, I don't understand it because it's not believable. Her character as a scientist was absolutely unprofessional because, like, she did her job. She figured out a problem. And then her bosses took over the project, which was believable. She made a choice to not play ball within the parameters of the program. And they weren't doing anything really to me that was suspicious. And then she started acting crazy and taking names and going to people's houses and telling them confidential information like, we have your embryo and it's turned into a baby. It was no way she was supposed to tell that lady that. And then this lady is like, well, I'm gonna get a lawyer because it's my baby, even though I signed a contract and all this other type of stuff. And she's going like to get files from other people, and she's like on the run and all this other type of crap. And it seems like she just made this whole situation worse for herself when she didn't even have to do it. And it was just absolutely unbelievable and unrealistic. And she just made too many problems for herself. Also, single ex-alcoholic hot father.
Well, by the way, I never could have seen coming on a Lifetime program.
Right? They want everybody to fall in love with this guy. And
never would have seen that character coming. Yes.
I mean, mm-hmm. like, oh, he's a guy with a baby, and he lost his wife, and he needs somebody to come in and take it.
Okay, there is a scene where he drops the kid off at school, right? And the Vipers are just, I mean, he can't even get the kid out the Jeep or whatever, because I think he drives like a manly Jeep or something. He can't even get the kid out of the Jeep. And they're like, oh, hi, how you doing, Kyle? Oh, your son is, oh, he's so nice. That mess was creepy. I mean, that was kind of just creepy right there.
He was visibly irritated by it all. Yeah, and yes, it was just like... I don't understand what's happening on this channel, but every time I watch it, it's like this. The only thing that I partially tolerate is Project Runway, and I'm having a hard time with watching that in too, because it's just not as good as it used to be. But I've watched things on this channel, and now I gotta tell you, Blood Ties, the vampire show, it was decent, you know, it fit in with some of the shows we've seen. It was like Angel or whatever, but this thing that we're watching right here, while some of the trappings and special effects are kind of cool, and the look of it is kind of cool, they get that part mostly right, but it's not anything that we haven't seen before. It's not a story that we haven't, like, we've seen these types of stories with, like, say, Dark Angel or freaking Orphan Black or something to do with embryos and cloning or
and
something.
On those shows, you know, at some point there's going to be an action-based explosive payoff for something that is going on. It's not just going to be about the emotional difficulties of the people involved. There's going to be some kind of action happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, this being the Lifetime Network.
Well, there was action on where she had to run around on the subway, right? And with the train from the guy with the... And she was on the run.
Yeah. Okay. So, women on the run could count as action. But is maybe not on the same level as when you say, you know, Angel or some of the that I was thinking about. you know, you've got to scale that up a little bit more for
yeah, no, I agree with you. It's
so
just...
my concern is that I've seen two episodes, you've seen one. I'm afraid that we're never going to see that. Now, we should. If this is true science fiction and they've got the story on as they have set it up so far, there's room for a lot of really exciting things. I don't mean sword fights; it doesn't have to be gunplay, but there just needs to be something a little bit more to move along the story than just the challenge, the emotional challenge of what these characters have to deal with.
Okay,
so I would be surprised, pleasantly surprised, if they could deliver the action component as well in this series. I'm curious.
Well, I don't know. Well, so that's not the only problem I have with it. So there's not a lot of action. It's not necessarily cool. And the lead actress is weird. And then there's this second actress with a brother or something, and she's supposed to be like the Secretary of State or something. And then she came up with this bizarre, like, she's the one who came up with the lottery, and then she like pitched it, and it was the worst pitch that I've ever heard. and it was just, she was just, I was just like, Carl's gonna like her because she's pretty, but
I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't notice at all that the lovely Athena Karakanis is in it. I didn't notice that at all. But go on, yes, please. I noticed she had flip opera cakes.
You are so shallow.
Oh, deliciously shallow. But go on, yes. I found her character quite fascinating. Go on.
I can't take you seriously as a person anymore.
I agree with you. The pitch was terrible.
She came, like, she had one discussion with, like, her ex-con or currently con brother or whatever. And then he, like, came up with some, he was like, well, I just got through robbing a liquor store, but maybe we should have a baby lottery or something like that. And then she
I know his point was that all I need is hope. I don't know.
Oh, my God. Yes, that is.
I don't know if I'm a win, but at least I have hope. So she magically morphed that into a strategically advantageous discussion with the president in the office. It was very smooth, very gentle.
And when Carl says smooth, he means heavy-handed. You need to say it. Heavy-handed.
What are you talking about?
She's the worst actress I've ever seen.
Well, let's not go that bad. She's not the worst. We've seen some bad actors.
She is right there with them.
But no, this was squarely in line with soap opera cadence. She's just doing it just like everyone else is.
She did it really well.
The pitch was not that great. And for the president to suddenly be as excited as he was after the pitch, viewers at home are like, oh, that sold him? That really?
Worst president ever.
Okay, he must really be desperate.
Some guy was like against it, and then she made this little weird threat that was so like, and then he got in on board with that after her stupid threat, and it was like the worst threat ever. Okay. And I just don't understand. It was terrible. And then so you have the president, which is the worst president ever, give the pitch of the lottery, and everybody like, ooh yeah, let's just draw straws to get babies. And then, like, what?
Hell no, because now this opens up the emotional investigation as to what makes a good parent. And how is the country going to determine whether someone is a good parent or not?
If it's a lottery, then it's random people. They're not going to determine it.
They've got a pre-selection process first. So they've got to really dig deep into what it means to be a good parent and to really flesh that out as a story element before they even begin the process of the lottery.
I'm not going to make it. So tell me about the second episode. Is this worth even? Because after the first episode, I was done. So I need you to try to tell me about the second episode and if we're going to continue watching this, the lottery.
Okay. Well, the problem I'm having right now is they kind of blur together for me. So I can't really remember quite where the break is. Wait, it's starting to come back to me. I'm gonna say this. This is the important thing. It is better than the first one.
What does that mean, though?
Okay, hang on. Let me back up and flesh some things out. Sci-fi starts slow sometimes. Sometimes shows that I have grown to love had terrible beginnings, And it was just because it was sci-fi or I liked some of the actors. Or most importantly, while I was watching it, there was some nugget of
potential. A hot chick.
No. It's not about that. There's some possibility of story direction where I look at it and I go, you know what, this could open up to be a better story here, or it's got interesting possibilities, or something like that. So even when in the first episode or two of a sci-fi program in general, across the board, I always do this, if I'm not feeling it, I look complete in infinite acting. I say, does this show have the potential to go someplace? Are they asking interesting enough questions? Is the potential for this show to go in a place that might be an interesting story in the future? My quick assessment after two episodes of this, it's got a chance. It's got a chance, okay?
So I don't even know who you are right now.
I'm telling you, yes, it's got the soap opera cadence. Yes, it's Lifetime. I got to deal with ovums and every fourth. I'm trying to hang through that, but look, I made it through the first episode of Star Trek Next Generation, all right? So if you could survive.
First season was nice, Next Generation. Second season was a harsh. First season was great. The second season with Doctor, what's her face?
We're not even getting into that. I'm just saying that even shows that later on we really, really enjoyed, in the beginning, they were really, really rough. So,
well, at least like Deep Space Nine, the first season.
First episode of Deep Space Nine. Oh no,
that was good. It was good.
Let me qualify this. The first 8 minutes of Deep Space Nine was probably the best opening of every Star Trek of any Star Trek series since. But after that 8 minutes, you're just wandering around. It was
yeah, phenomenal. I don't know. That was a great pilot, and it drew me in. The first season lost me, though.
Of course.
And then I picked it back up after fourth season. But
all I'm saying is sometimes you have to watch through.
I don't think that this is going to be as epic as Deep Space Nine, Babylon 5, Star Trek.
I am saying is, I believe the show still has potential. I believe.
I think it's on par with Revolution.
Okay. Like I said, I was dogging Revolution right from the start, and nor did I see much of a chance for that one. This one, I believe. There's a chance.
I am so disappointed in you right now. I thought for sure that I appreciate that you are being fair. I like that about you. But when you're fair, it's in the worst way possible, because I can't see how anyone like you in your universe can say that maybe I have to see the second episode, because I don't understand you right now. Because that first pilot was something that I just did not want to watch. I think you're watching it to see all these women talk about ovums and all this other type of stuff. I don't.
Yeah, that's the real reason I'm watching.
You watching it for that one chick. I don't understand what you're doing right now.
She's quite nice. However,
she is not. She looks bizarre.
Oh no, she does not.
Oh, I forgot. You like ugly women. So,
anywho, there is the possibility for. Okay, here are the characters that I'm looking at, and the dynamics that I'm looking at that are kind of interesting. Actually, I kind of like the father-son relationship that's going on. I'm hoping that Kyle gets to be a little bit better developed as a character. But his challenge as a father relating to his son in this situation, I think, is kind of interesting. If I'm looking for action, there is this interesting kind of power triangle developing between the president. I'm not going to say Vanessa, but it's just because you've only seen the first episode. In the next episode, what happens is the doctor and Vanessa kind of pair up. They kind of pair up to work together. So there's dynamic developing between the doctor and Vanessa, the president, and that president's henchman buddy, you know, that military guy.
Mm-hmm.
There is an interest because it's clear that the military guy is not down. He wants to he didn't think the lottery was a good idea. He thinks that the military should oversee all aspects of the child raising and who gets the children and overseeing and all that. He's taking that traditional sort of military warrior perspective.
But
on
he's
this.
The man. I don't need no man enemy of Lifetime. So you know he's going down.
But see, most of the guys are like that on Lifetime. So you got to pick your villains. But I'm just saying the dynamic that's coming up between what the president is trying to do. He's just trying to maintain his position and do his thing. We got military power hungry guy popping up there. And now the dynamic and Vanessa and the doctor teaming up together to try to put a positive face, a spin on the potential for curing this and how to sell that. There's something interesting there that could get now it could very easily go off rails. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt because I've only seen two episodes and it's starting mighty rocky. But I'm just trying to say when I see glimmers of hope, this is the kind of thing that I'm looking for. These characters and what's happening with them could be very interesting in terms of how the story progresses. You got the military going up against the president. The president's trying to team up with the biologists, and they're actually trying to cure the disease. So this there's the potential. There's some potential there. So I'm going to suggest you watch the second one. Because I noticed the soap opera cadence is not as bad in the second episode. It's still there, but it's not as bad. And I don't know if it's they're focused on different set of characters. More stuff is happening in it. But it's different than a lot of stuff that we're used to. I recognize that, and I am giving it a little more of a benefit of the doubt because of that. But I'm not ready to close the door on it yet.
I am so disappointed in you right now.
Just check out the second one. Check out the second one. See where it goes.
So another person that's watching this and have seen every episode so far, because I think it's either four or five, is Anthony. We've had him on the show before. He continues to watch this thing. So that's concerning.
Well,
because I'm trying to figure out what's happening here, because this is bizarre. It's garbage to me as far as I'm concerned, but whatever.
Hang on, just give it another episode or two.
I'll give it, but then I'm upset.
So I am not ready to close the door on it entirely yet.
I think because you just want to see that chick.
No, she's mighty nice, and more lovely ladies do show up, but that's not why. That's really not. There's not enough of her in these episodes to keep me watching for that. So
I don't know. Well, I'll give it another shot because I do respect your opinion, but right now I think that you've been replaced or something. So I don't trust you right
you
now.
You mean by a replicant or clone of some kind?
Yeah, I think so. I think so because you are not as grumpy as I would have predicted. In fact, I suggested the show as a punishment.
Yeah, you did.
And fact that you like the punishment is concerning.
I'm going to say this now. In anticipation of this show, I did come up with a couple of hilarious dog lines, but I'm not going to use them because I actually watch the show. I don't crack just to have fun dogging shows. I actually watch them. So I was ready. If this had just gone completely off the rails for the first episode and two episodes, I was going to lay into it. And I had some hilarity at the ready. But no. I'm giving it a real chance here.
You are just the most adorable person.
It did not horrify me the way that I thought it would.
Well, maybe I should have watched the second episode and I would feel the same way, but I only saw the first one and I gotta tell you, it's not the
first one was a little rough.
It's not. So I will give it a shot. However, like Under the Dome, this one will be not one that I rush on.
See, like Under the Dome from the start. I mean, so this is what I'm talking about. When you sit
here
down and a show comes out, you're trying to figure out, okay, am I going to watch this? Am I not? does this show have any potential or not? Under the Dome literally is in a bubble. There's just nowhere it can. And you're like, there's got to be. You're trying to watch. You're trying to.
Carl, calm down. This isn't about Under the Dome. I know. Calm down, sweetheart.
My point simply is sometimes right out of the gate, you look at a show and you're like, what? There's nowhere for this to go. That's disappointing. I do not at all believe that with the lottery. With the lottery, there are many.
I don't think these writers are responsible enough to handle this without making it something cheesy. I think women's issues and things like that is a worthy cause. I think empowering women, because I'm a woman, so of course I think these things are great. But when I feel like I'm being pandered to, it pisses me off. I do not like to feel like I'm being marketed to. Like somebody sees me, hey, you're black, let me get you some fried chicken. No, don't do that, because I don't like that. You're a woman, let's talk about Ova and single men that you'll fall in for, and let's take a shirt off here because we know you're gonna do. Like, I joke about the shirts off, and that's like people think that that's like all I am right now because I've joked about it for so long. But I mean, I do like a little bit more in my stories, and I don't like to be insulted, you know. And to me, I don't know, it just feels like I'm being pandered to, and I don't like it. And so that's the only reason that this and the entirety of the Lifetime channel and Hallmark and all those just rubs me the wrong way.
When I knew this was going to be on Lifetime, and when I saw that, I was ready for that. And there is a layer of that that you have to fight through. Undeniably, I'm no arguing with you on that. I'm just saying that, but the very fact that they chose the opportunity, that they're giving science fiction a chance, is letting me know, okay, they're trying here. Maybe they're going to try to do something a little bit different with how the stories develop as well, because it's so easy to crank out another Lifetime of the Weekend movie. You can do that time and time again, and they've done it for years. So the fact that they're stepping out and trying science fiction at the same time, what they've produced has got the potential to go and say, I'm holding out hope that the writers are, I'm not going to hit it and say responsible enough. I'm just hoping that they're going to try something a little bit different than what we've seen, and they're going to flesh out some of these things that I think could take this series in an interesting direction. That's why I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. They tried with science fiction, so I'm going to try with them and see how it goes.
That's a really positive attitude to take on it. I was ready to write them off, but that is a really good perspective that they at least try, you know, and some channels don't even bother with something like this. So
often you do, the sci-fi channel could be accused of that.
Right. That's so true. So, I mean, when you put it that way, that they're giving it a shot and they're trying something different, yeah, you do got to give them credit for that, because they pull people like us who never watch this channel for science fiction, or who would never think to watch this channel for science fiction, and they brought us to their channel, and they got our eyeballs.
I didn't watch a Lifetime channel any other time. They have done something very unique here.
What, you don't want to see a woman overcome her abuser husband?
Maybe once or twice, but every weekend? So the fact that they're trying something new, and here I am reciprocating. I am now watching a program on the Lifetime channel.
Oh, Carl. I'm going to get you your first bra.
Thanks.
Do you like pink?
Little bows, please. No.
So. Okay. Well, unless you have anything else, we can wrap this one up.
That's all I got. I'm gonna try the second one, and let's see how it goes.
Fine, Carl. So that's our show, folks. We'd love your feedback on our show. Please don't hurt me too much for being so negative. 773-336-2686. Go to our website. We'd love to see you leave us a comment, and our website is scifipartyline.com.
Feel free to crochet or cross-stitch any concerns to our accounts at RoboMinister or at FancyFimbot. You can also reach us at Sci-Fi Party Line, and on Facebook, Google Plus, and Stitcher Radio.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye.
End of line.